We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Brian Shea. Brian started Shea Consulting in 2012 to help organizations use technology to improve how they engage with their customers. Today, Shea Consulting is a multidisciplinary team of strategists and developers that specialize in business process engineering on the Salesforce platform. Past clients include firms in the financial services, insurance, and higher ed sectors. Brian lives in central Massachusetts with his family. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited for you to be here too, and I hope I didn't butcher Massachusetts. I said it like five times.
No, no. That's great. Yeah, Massachusetts. Awesome.
All right.
State.
It is. I love Boston. When I've been there, I always have a good time.
That's where we met.
It sure is. All right. So, your business revolves around helping people with a CRM.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you Google that, there's a gazillion different things that show up. So How do you know which CRM is best for a business?
Okay, so you're totally right with the number of CRMs. There is so many out there. I mean, there's some big name ones like Salesforce is a big one. And that's most of the work that we do is with Salesforce, like you said. Mm-hmm. But there are a ton of CRMs. And which makes the decision-making process even harder. Many, many, many of them are really good. They all do, you know, a lot of things really well. One of the questions that I get asked the most often is like, what's your favorite CRM or what's the best CRM? And my answer is usually like, it's usually not the technology that's the most important thing. It's usually the underlying process or the underlying thing that you're trying to execute on. So whatever, in this case, we're talking about keeping in touch with prospects and contacts, and really it's about your brand and who you are as a company and how you want to keep in touch with people and really just executing that consistently over time. And the technology you select, whether it's Salesforce or HubSpot or whatever tool you choose, it's really about enabling that. So it's really about, you know, strategy and process first, and then having a tool in place that that enables that. So a lot of people are super disappointed by that answer because they're like, yeah, but what tool should I use?
Yeah. Yeah, but, I love it. Yeah. I love it when I'm getting interviewed and my answer is always, it depends.
It depends.
No, that's really important. I think I agree 100%. Strategy and process first and then find what fits within that instead of doing it the other way around and picking a tool and trying to reinvent the process that you've already got mapped out.
Yeah. And some of them, like that's like that, one of the things we don't do HubSpot, but one of the things that I like about HubSpot is they have such a strong sort of framework associated with it, with the kind of their own, you know, inbound methodology that to some extent with HubSpot, it's kind of built in a little bit. I mean, you still need to follow the process and all that, but it's not just a piece of technology. It also has a strategic framework associated with it.
Yeah. Absolutely, and we're a HubSpot crew, and you already know that already. But
I know that's why I mentioned it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm queuing you up.
I appreciate it. It's good. But at the end of the day, like we said, it depends on what your specific goals are, because not every tool is the best fit for every business out there.
Yeah, like we've run into. We run into companies all the time that have like the best software, best in class software, and their processes are not up to speed with their technology. And at the same time, we've seen companies that are kind of in the reverse situation where they don't really have great tools. Maybe they're using spreadsheets or something else, but they really have really well thought out strategies and they're really executing on their processes well. And I'd rather be in the second boat than in the first one. I'd rather have the process and be using spreadsheets than the best cutting edge technology and not really have the underlying processes associated with it.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Not to take away, you know, from the Salesforce spotlight right now, but, you know, I was observing HubSpot for about 6 years and didn't feel confident in our own processes before we invested in the platform to say, okay, yes, this is the right fit for us. And it took a while to do that because I wanted to be confident that it was the right tool. So, it's a big decision to make because you're investing a ton of time and money to some degree.
Absolutely.
With that.
And I mean, with HubSpot or with, you know, Salesforce and Pardot or any of the others. I mean, if you just think about, well, with HubSpot, obviously one of the big inputs to that is content creation, and creating content is a huge investment. It's not something that, I don't know what you kind of advise your clients on in terms of content creation, but it's not something where you're going to get a huge return on it in like 6 months. So it takes a long time. It's much more like much more like in the model of like a gym membership than a new car, right? Like it takes you time to sort of build up capability around it and really see a return on investment as opposed to something that you get, you know, a lot of benefit on day one. So it is a huge decision.
Well, you've definitely heard me speak before because I always use the gym philosophy here.
Oh, do you use that? I use that metaphor too, and I always feel bad because like it's such a downer. Like people are like, oh, this guy, like, what's the story? The gym membership. But it's true, you know.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, what I preach is that you have to be consistent in your actions to generate consistent results, right? And you can't go work out for just one day and then expect to be fit and solid 6 months down the road. You have to be consistently practicing these things to generate the results that you want.
Yeah. I started, like, not to take the metaphor too far or too literally, but like I've always you going, like, even if I don't have a great workout or something, just continuing to like build and follow the process and keep going, you know, whatever, however many days a week I say I'm gonna go that many days.
It's important.
Yeah,
if you want to maintain those results.
Maintain, how about get results?
Yeah, that's step one, right? It's to get, you need to start somewhere.
I wish I had some results to maintain, but yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, let's bring it back to the CRM world a little bit. Yeah. What should someone expect to spend for a CRM or marketing automation tool for a business?
So in terms of software costs, it's really, this is one of those, it depends type of things. I mean, there's the pricing on like a Salesforce, is a per user license. So it's somewhere between, you know, $60-$70 per user at the lower end per month to into the hundreds per user per month for Salesforce. Other tools, HubSpot is a overall license tool, not a per seat tool. I believe that's still how they do HubSpot. Pardot's an overall license tool as well. But it's easy to focus on the software costs. That's an important part of it. But really, I'd say the bigger cost associated with it is the investment of time for you and your team in terms of developing the processes and then following them. That's really where a lot of the investment comes into play. And if you're getting help, there's investment there as well, like from a consultant or whatever. But whatever the license cost is, that's kind of the easy thing to focus on. But it's really in terms of your team's time, in terms of planning and executing on the process where the bigger cost comes in.
Well, and that's why having that process in place is so critical so that you're not spending time trying to develop a process. You're just
kind of
implementing a process that's already established, probably making a couple adjustments and tweaks because you do have a new system in play. But those tweaks are creating efficiencies typically.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah, and you said kind of taking taking an existing, you said not reinventing the wheel earlier, and I'd say that's a huge thing too, is like whenever possible, if it's possible to take existing sort of frameworks in your industry or frameworks like, you know, the inbound framework or something, and applying it to your business, even if you're doing kind of like 75 or 80% of it, it's usually a whole lot better than trying to create the perfect process from scratch, because it's, might as well just learn from what other people have already done.
Most definitely. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that for sure. So, you're out and about a bit much. What's your favorite conference to attend?
That's a good question. So I don't know if this is my favorite conference, but the one that I was at most recently is a conference here in Boston called Service Design Week, which is a conference about process and developing services, customer service services that that your customers can experience. And they have a strong financial services component to it as well. So a lot of people who work in the financial services industry. So that is a conference that I was at recently that I really liked. I also, since I'm a Salesforce person, really dig Salesforce. And since I'm local here in Boston, I always hang out with people at the Inbound conference as well, which is where we met. So those are kind of the three that I enjoy.
Yeah, Inbound was fantastic. I loved the experience there. Service Design Week, I've never heard of that one. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the Salesforce one, I've heard amazing things about that conference as well.
Yeah, they have kind of like Inbound, they have like, you know, it's not just like business speakers. They've got like bands and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's an experience. It's not just you're going to go and sit and hear people talk.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I remember one of the ones that I went to was recently, last time I went to Inbound was a few years ago, and I heard Malcolm Gladwell speak, and it was at like 8 in the morning. It was very early in the morning, and it was like, I got there, you know, got a good seat in the front. It's in like the big, you know, the main stage there. And I didn't know them at the time, but OK Go. Do you know that band?
No.
You don't know? I didn't know them either. The only reason I knew them is because I saw them. They like came out and played like one song at like 8:30 in the morning, a.m. And then Malcolm Gladwell comes on. He just sort of like walks out of like a side door, walks on stage, gave a crazy good talk, and then walked off stage. It was just like such a cool experience. So definitely a great conference.
Yeah. No, I loved it. It's a fantastic experience. So networking is the focus of the show here.
Yes.
Brian, can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had or experience you've had?
So this is, it's not really a story. So it's not like an anecdote. So it's not too unexciting, but in terms of networking, you and I both met through our friend Drew McClellan, who runs Agency Management Institute.
Yep.
And he has an article that he wrote a few years ago that I still think is just such a great tool because it's really simple. It's, have you ever heard of his, I don't know if he has a new name for it, but it's the macro, micro, nano framework. Have you?
Oh yeah. I live that and breathe it. And
yeah.
I regurgitate it all the time.
So you,
thanks,
you,
Drew.
Yeah. Hat tip to Drew. So, you probably know it better than I do. You definitely know it better than I do, but it's super simple, right? It's, macro is kind of touching as many folks as you can, generally by writing content or a newsletter that you do consistently. Mm-hmm. Macro is sort of reaching some smaller subset of higher quality people that you want to work with, you know, in terms of more high touch things like
Like a targeted industry or something.
Targeted industry. Yeah. And then nano is those like 10 or so sort of, call them like dream prospects or something, and really keeping in touch with them. And I just like it because it's simple. It's very concrete. There's not a whole lot of like abstractness about it.
Yeah.
And that's one that just over time, you know, it really does work. I mean, there's nothing, you know, there's like no free lunch in life. So it's not like you do it and the next day you've got tons of clients, but over time it's just, it works really, really well. And you not only, you know, get clients, but you form good relationships with people too, because it's like many things that Drew talks about, it's about really building relationships with people and not just sort of being transactional.
Yeah, totally. And I think the most important phrase that you said is that it takes time.
Yes.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. So, but it's like, I was reading this thing, I forget where I was, like a blog post or something, but somebody was saying that like 3 years from now or 5 years from now, you know, your future self is going to be appreciating something that you've done today. You know, you sort of start the ball rolling with something, whether it's that gym, going to the gym, or you know, networking in a positive way to build quality relationships. You know, years, you know, 3 years or whatever goes by faster than you think. So it's like, if you start sowing the seeds now, it's it does pay off.
I've not heard that, but it totally makes sense. And I really, really like that. But going back to the, it takes time to build these relationships, regardless if you're tackling that macro, micro, or nano philosophy, which I think is brilliant. What do you do, Brian, to stay in front of or best nurture your network and community?
So this is probably, the way that I keep in touch with people is probably not the inbound best practices way to do that. I'm somebody that is really, I like sort of interacting with people one-on-one more than anything else. I do like blogging, but I, you know, in my own business kind of fallen behind more than I would have liked in terms of newsletter and blogging. But I really do like kind of talking with people one-on-one. So I just make a really strong habit of keeping my list of clients and prospects and just friends and colleagues that I want to keep in touch with, and just make sure that I have a schedule and I'm reaching out to people proactively, and usually just set up phone calls or coffee. It's definitely not a strategy that scales. You run out of definitely run out of time, and you need to prioritize. But that's a thing that's always worked for me. And I'm somebody that I really enjoy what I do. And the reason why I enjoy it is the people that I, you know, have the opportunity to work with. So building and keeping and maintaining those relationships is really important to me.
Well, and you know, it sounds like you take the approach of going deep versus wide. You know, you, instead of having a wide reach, you really kind of build these in-depth relationships by investing in this one-on-one time, which again takes time, literally out of your day, but it takes time to build these relationships. And I think that's a good approach, because you have great relationships, like really strong, meaty relationships then.
Yeah. And it's sort of like with, you know, I think you have to know yourself too. Like with anything, you have to kind of know what works for you and what doesn't. And that's just something that's just sort of the way that I like to do things, and I'm very comfortable with. I feel like at other times in my career, I've tried out different sort of tactics or strategies, and there's nothing wrong with them. But you said it perfectly. Like, I'm somebody who really, you know, I like the people that I like, and I want to have strong relationships with them. So the idea of, what do you say, deep and wide, the reverse of that. So wide, but not deep. That just doesn't. Can I say one other thing that for me was a really important sort of networking lesson that I learned that I just thought of is, do you mind if I go off on a tangent a little bit?
Totally, yeah. Go for it.
So a good friend of mine, her name's Pam Slim, and she's a business coach and consultant and wrote some books, a lot of them having to do with building community and, you know, with a subtext of networking and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I just interviewed her, actually.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
She's awesome, right?
She's great. Yeah. Fantastic information she shared.
Yeah, she's just so awesome on every level. But I know with her, like, I, at the beginning of my career, when I first met her, you know, I would be, you know, I'd go to like a networking event or some professional event. And it's like, I had invested so much in, I would choose an event and invest so much in it, not in terms of time, but just in terms of like, okay, this needs to be a good experience and I need to get like, make contacts and everything else. And she had this thing of you plant, like when you plant a garden, right? Like you don't put a seed in the ground and water it and stand there and watch it and like need for that plant to grow. It's like you plant a bunch of seeds and you water them all and you're patient with them and some of them grow and some of them don't. And that metaphor for me, maybe even more than the gym metaphor, was like the garden metaphor was huge, because it was like it allows you to sort of A, be patient and B, kind of, you know, let things happen. Like some things are going to grow and some things aren't. And I would go to, you know, when she gave me this, I remember going to a networking group in Boston and going to it, and it was fine. It was just fine, but it wasn't great. And I wasn't going back. And I remember in the, like before that, I think that would have been something where I would have struggled with like, oh, should I go back to this networking group or should I not? And I just went to it. It wasn't a great fit. It was fine, but I wasn't going to go back, and that was totally fine. There was other places that I could, you know, invest my energy. And it seems like a simple lesson, but one that was really important for me.
Yeah, no, I've heard that analogy before, like planting the seed and watering it and nurturing it, and not everything blossoms,
yeah,
right? Or you don't, not everything comes to fruit that's ready to pick or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, you want to take with that. But it's, you know, some of them turn into a really juicy piece of fruit, right?
Yeah.
And others are just duds. So,
yeah, that's fine.
It is. It is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So you like the one-on-one, but you're also in a very tech industry, right? Mm-hmm. So digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Oh, that's well, for me, it's definitely traditional. But the way I try to think of it is like they go together well. So if, let's say, for instance, like I said, in the last year, I've really fallen off in terms of creating content. But prior to that, you know, I was generating content, you know, digital content. I did a podcast for a while, wrote a blog, and the ability to have thought leadership or ideas or whatever you want to call it out there really enabled me when I did meet a new person or when a new person sort of sought me out because of something I had written, to be able to go much deeper, because now we sort of each know, you know, we have ideas to talk about as opposed to just sort of having it be more superficial. So I think they kind of go hand in hand. If I had to choose, I'd choose traditional probably, because that's just who I am. But I think it's a good 1-2 punch.
I'm definitely on the page of you need both of them, especially in today's day and age. I love meeting new people in person. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can never replace that experience, but digital makes it so easy to just kind of keep doing those little touches that remind people you're there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that thought leadership component is so critical today, because that's kind of how you differentiate yourself from everyone else that does the exact same thing that you do.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you're totally right too on like the, you know, like I was saying earlier, the one-on-one thing. If you are in a business that you're, there's a real focus on scaling, the one-on-one thing, it's kind of tough to scale that. That's where digital can be really powerful.
Well, and I guess it goes back to what are your goals? What do you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and once you get that figured out, you can really be strategic about the activities that you are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Be thoughtful about them.
Brian, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh, man, that's a good question. It's like such a long list.
Oh, you're one of those people.
I'm like, oh, my God, things I could have done better. No, I mean, I'd say one thing is probably to trust people more, like in the sense of there's a lot of people out there that are, that will support you and that will, you know, that you can build great relationships with. And I think earlier in my career, I was more kind of timid of like meeting new people and building relationships and felt like there was a certain way to do it and a certain protocol when there really isn't. It's just sort of treating people with respect and knowing yourself and knowing other people and trying to help people out as much as you can. That's a great way to build relationships. So, I mean, I'd say that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree with that to some degree. I think it's a really important component that you don't have to come off on the defensive right away. And there are some genuine human beings out there that want to help you. You're going to have a better relationship if you do put that trust in them right away.
Yeah. 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 The other, I thought of another one too, is I remember early in my career, there was a couple colleagues that were a little bit older than me, and they were showing me some kind of new, this is when I first started in the technology space, and they were showing me some new, I think we were looking at Linux or something, some like tools that I wasn't familiar with. And I remember asking one of them, like, oh, are there, you know, career potential, you know, in some various area that we were talking about? And I was asking like very specific questions. Well, could you, you know, take this technology and do this? And could you get a job doing this? And it was very, you know, looking back, very sort of narrowly focused. And the guy was like, yeah, you could do all those things. And he said, it's a big world out there. And I remember thinking like, wow, that's so like, first of all, it's so zen to say that, but he's totally right. Like it's, you know, the there are so many opportunities out there, especially if, you know, you work hard, you build good relationships. Not to sound corny or cliche or anything, but like add value, you know, whenever you're working on a project or something, if you really try to contribute something and bring something to the table, like, you know, there's a ton of opportunities. So
absolutely.
That's another good one.
Yeah. I think it's really important to look at it. It's a lot bigger out there than, you know, what we just see right in front of us. That's
totally,
totally, really insightful information.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was like, I'm always surprised by, I don't know how to put it, like you, there's all this stuff to do that you don't even realize is like work or jobs. Like I remember when this is a long time ago, when I was in college, you just sort of think like, okay, you can be a lawyer, a doctor, a banker, you know, teacher, you know, these various things. And then you like get out into the real world and you're like, wow, there's a lot of things to do that you didn't even realize existed. And I've, throughout my career, you run into a new industry or a new firm or something and see the types of things that people are doing. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know that was something that people did. Mm-hmm. So tons of opportunity.
There really is. And there's something for everyone and on so many different levels. And to a degree, I think that, you know, that thinking big approach and knowing that it's a big world out there, you just have to explore and have a little trial and error. Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, how are you going to know?
Yeah. Right? And like, it's okay to mess up a little bit. Like I'm sure you, I don't want to speak for you, but I mess up.
Oh, I'm perfect. No. Oh goodness. I am so far, far away from perfect.
Yeah.
I learn something new every single day.
Yeah.
And I learn things I like and things I don't like and things I'll never do again and the right way to do things. And
things I'll never do again. Things I'll hopefully never do again. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is good. I'm glad we had this conversation. I was just telling somebody earlier today that I described myself as a glass half empty kind of person, like sort of a pessimist. And I feel like from this conversation, I'm feeling very positive. So this is good.
It's a lot of positive information you're sharing. So
all these great positive lessons. This is fantastic.
Good.
I'll go back when I'm feeling down. I'll listen to this podcast.
There you go. And I'll get lots and lots of downloads from it. So Brian is a business owner, professional. I know that continuing to just better ourselves is our own human nature. And so I'm always curious what book my guests are reading. So what's on your nightstand right now?
So it's not really a business book. I've been reading a lot of Mary Oliver poetry recently. So I don't know if that is a great business recommendation.
It doesn't have to be a business recommendation.
Her poetry is fantastic. And I'm sure most people have read her poetry or heard of her, but she's great.
I've not, and I'm gonna take a little
You should check her out.
Detour, I'll send you from my books, my business books, and
well, it's poetry, so it's quick,
which is good. I like that.
Which is why I started. I was like, I used to read a lot at night, and now I'm too tired to read a lot at night. So we have some poetry books at the house. So I was like, I'll take a look at this. So that's kind of how I started.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it just kind of calms you down, probably.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Okay. Sometimes it doesn't.
And sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. I guess I got to read the poetry to really understand what it can do to you. That's good. All right. Brian, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think it's always good, like we talked about before, it's always good to be optimistic, be a glass half full kind of person.
Yeah, I think that's important too. You can't control every situation, but just try to be as positive about it and take a lesson out of it.
I don't know did you ever read the book Positive Psychology? It was like in the 90s, Martin Seligman wrote it, and it's a psychology book. So there's a lot of stuff in there. But one of the things is talks about like, on average, like it's just better to be a positive, a glass half full kind of person. So read it like 15 years ago. So I'm still trying to figure that out.
Still, maybe you need to reread it.
Right. That should be the next book. Get rid of the poetry, read Positive Psychology.
Okay. That's it. You're going to have to report back to me on
that. I know. We'll do
and then you
episode.
Can drop the... Yeah, there you go, George. So they drop the book in the mail, and then I'll read it when you're done. And then we can talk about it.
Be super positive. If you thought this episode was positive, just wait till we read that book.
Absolutely. All right. So if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Our website is the best place. ShayaConsulting.biz, B-I-Z. And Shay is spelled S-H-E-A. So it's all one word. ShayaConsulting.biz.
All right. And we will include that information in the show notes.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Brian.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Lots of fun. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Brian Shea for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.